All right, everyone. Sorry for the late start. How's everyone doing? How's everyone enjoying their outpost? Good? Very good. Welcome to the Forging Worlds panel. This is going to be a look at how Forge has evolved over time, how it's kind of had its impact on the Halo community and the Halo game as a whole. So we'll go ahead and hit on introductions. I am Duststorm. I am the owner and host of Podtacular, which is a Halo podcast. I'm going to be pretty much the moderator. These are the smart brains that I'm pulling in for this. So first we have Foge.
I'm Foge. I've curated a couple of matchmaking playlists, helped make pretty much all the recent ones, Husky Raid, Halo 3 Classic Throwback, Community Slayer, I'm Forge Hub staff.
Cool.
Hi, I'm Crush. I am a part of the Infection community here at Forge Hub, and I've been foraging since Halo 3.
Cool.
I'm the Omicron. I curated the Infection playlist, so all the maps that are in the Infection playlist were not my work, but I helped get them into matchmaking, and also Analog, that was in the Community Slayer playlist, and a few maps in Halo 4, but mostly Halo 5, and I'm also on Forge Up staff as a writer.
Cool. So a little bit of background on what Forge is. We have the in-game tool used to create user-generated content. You're able to kind of customize the map with gameplay objects and all that kind of stuff. And then it also kind of with what Tadis alluded to, it kind of helps curate new content for matchmaking, for multiplayer, and allows for just that kind of unique experience within Halo that not all other games get.
Yep. Yeah, it's like kind of when you're playing every other game, you know, there's only one way you can play it, but with Forge, there's a lot of things that you can do to change how the game's played and really iterate on different things like that.
All right, who's taking Halo 3?
I got this one. So Halo 3, right off the bat, was never intended to be a level editor or anything like that. It was just something that you could swap spawns on, swap weapons with. But eventually, Bungie realized that the community were trying to make things with it, and they eventually gave us our first map, Foundry, which is entirely made of forgeable pieces that can be moved around, and you could actually create in-game geometry. And then there was a glitch that was found where you could fuse everything through the ground, and that kind of exploded it all. And what really made the next game come into adding all these features.
Cool. Next, we got Halo Reach.
I think I do. So Halo Reach, that was a major milestone for the Forging community. Halo 3, it was pretty much you were working around a bunch of gimmicks to make a map work, like what Foge was going on about, like ghost merging. None of the blocks were made to be merged into the ground or anything like that. But after a lot of community outreach, in Reach, they allowed merging and phasing, and
you could change the physics of objects.
Change the physics of the objects Magnets. Entirely, which sped up map production. It allowed a lot more creativity and just a lot more to do. Along with the merging of objects, they gave a whole canvas, a whole map empty Forge world that you could play around on and make maps in. You weren't restricted to a foundry box or like a sandbox, which was another Halo 3 map. So if you wanted to do like an ocean map or something like, you could do that. Halo Reach was, in my opinion, the biggest, you know, breaking point for the Forging community.
Halo 4.
Halo 4 expanded upon what Reach started. To some extent, we didn't get a proper Forge canvas with a lot of open space until halfway through the game's lifespan with Forge Island. But with the other canvases, we had a really diverse themes of a different map. One was a cave, one was space, one was in a 400 canyon. And all those like came with their own little pieces, a lot of really cool pieces, even in like the Dominion game type. So people could create their own bases, they could create their own like strongholds, pretty much anything they wanted to. Expanding upon what Reach did, except with a little bit of a downscale at the beginning.
And the over-impressive Halo 2 anniversary.
So, of course, Halo 2 anniversary didn't exactly add anything super crazy compared to Halo 4. It was probably the least stepping stone from all the previous games, all the previous iterations. But what they did add was scripting, although very simple. It did set the groundwork for scripting in the future games that would come as a big help. And of course, it had more like refined objects, but nothing too crazy or new.
A lot of concrete.
Yeah, a lot of concrete textures.
If you liked concrete, play that.
Drain too.
Yeah. Halo 5.
All right, so with Halo 5,
the biggest improvement of them all.
Yeah, with Halo 5, it's the biggest improvement, but there were a lot of growing pains on the way, a lot of bugs. One of the biggest bugs, if you want to call it a bug, is Halo 5 didn't even have Forge to start off with. We had to wait till late December in order to actually start building maps on there and building maps for playlists. The BTB playlist was completely comprised of maps made from Forge in early December by some people who got invited out to 343. And with Halo 5, there's a ton of improvements when it comes to lighting, tool set, pieces that we have to mess around with. And yeah, in the pictures here that you can see behind me are just some highlighting some maps from mini games to statues to 2v2s to infection to everything.
There's how many minigames do you guys think there are within Halo 5?
Minigames?
Yeah.
In total? Oh, gosh. Like original minigames? Like, there's so many knockoffs and stuff, but I don't know. Thousands,
well,
probably.
I know about the
action. If we're talking not action. Original, then I think roughly 2,000.
Yeah. I know they're for the action like, sack
like
playlist.
If we're talking like...
There's like 30
yeah.
that could go into the next one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's some really popular ones that most people know. I don't know, like Flush Toilet, the skillet's up there, or the Great Griddle. The Great Griddle, it's on the right side. That was a really popular one. There's some other really good ones.
And we didn't only see like a lot of the scripting get improved, but all of like the visual effects and the sounds. I think that was something that was new as well.
People
There's a whole team of dudes that just do scripting, and they pretty much break it down like a computer language.
Yeah, Halo 5 diversified a lot of the Forging community into like subcategories. So there's some people that like specialize in scripting, people that like doing that. Me personally, I don't like doing that, so I get someone else to do it for me. Also, there's people that just like to make prefabs. Like in the center of that screenshot, you have a guy by the name of Dat Boy. I actually don't know the creator of that, but he's pretty legendary.
I'd say that
that's a frog, right?
Yeah,
I think on a unicycle.
I'd say with also like you'd think these groups of forgers like being broken up into separate groups would make people kind of like less friendly with each other, but I kind of think it's actually the other way around, because you have people reaching out to others saying, hey, can you help me with this map? Because I want to do this. I want to do that.
It's almost like you're building on each other's strengths.
Whether it's the artwork or the effects.
If Halo Reach is the biggest jump in Forge, I'd say Halo 5 is probably the biggest jump when it comes to like teamwork in the Forge community.
Yeah.
More than anything.
Yeah.
Cool.
So the impact of Forge has a lot of different things throughout the community, like we were talking before. There's people that made maps for matchmaking, there's people who made maps for custom game browser that just put their stuff in there, whether that be clan bases or like their own original maps. Mainly with the matchmaking stuff though, especially in Halo 5, the entire like landscape of Halo 5's matchmaking is Forge maps. besides like in the very core playlists, like HCS and Slayer. Like you have the 343 dev created maps, but you also have maps like White Cell and Seclusion that are in there, that are forged maps by the community that got put in there over time.
I'd say half the maps on the disc now are pretty much forged maps that come loaded in that list there in Halo 5.
Yeah. Well, then there were the maps that were included that were pre-forged.
Yeah.
What was it, Parallax and...
Because they keep adding maps to that list.
Pegasus?
Pegasus, Orion.
Pegasus and Orion.
Then, I think all the BTB maps, too, came with it. Or when I launched.
Yeah, Deadlock, maps. Guillotine. Yep. Deadlock, Guillotine. What was the one map with the hill that we were discussing before that I've taken out?
Basin?
Yeah, Basin.
Yeah, so there's a lot of history there. Earlier today, I actually hosted the Machinima panel. We talked a little bit about how Halo 5 Forge has really paved the way to make Machinima a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
Machinima mode, custom games, all the new objects that are there, and everything else from the toolkit that Halo 5 provides. Machinima really, it's still kind of getting its new set of feet under it. I don't think it's been as big since kind of the Halo 3, Halo Reach trade-off, but Machinima is definitely a big user base of Forge.
Yeah, definitely. I even know some people that like will just reach out to like, I don't know if you guys have been reached out to before, but like they'll reach out to people who just like make aesthetics and like just make aesthetic maps.
Yeah, Send has a whole Discord server with just a bunch of forgers and a bunch of people that want to make machinimas, and he makes some of the best machinimas out there.
Yeah,
because he incorporates the Forge into
one of the communities. Even more specifically, like some people just like making prefabs or whatever, but there's even people that strictly make like set pieces or sets for machinimas. Which is its own thing, which is interesting.
And then there's the whole like merging of vehicles into objects, so you can have like the
custom vehicles.
Originally,
like the spatula one, the skillet.
Yeah,
it's crazy just some of the stuff that people come up with.
Yeah,
and then like the saucer with the banshee. Which one that's called? But
the aliens game type.
Great girl.
It's so great, and then it's. Another little point on here, just Forge Hub is probably one of the more well-known Forge communities, but there are so many different little sub-pockets within the greater Forge community. And it's just interesting to see how much difference in like approach or concept of different ways to do Forge and that kind of stuff. So there's the three basic design concepts. Map layout, flow, visual theme, and gameplay.
Yeah, so some of the things that... This is sort of more of like a in-depth-ish, I guess, kind of thing about like making an actual map. You know, you'd want to kind of like design it. You need to pick what kind of map you're making for starters. Like, you can't just... I mean, you could start throwing pieces down, but sometimes when you do that, it's not going to get you the best results that you want. And you just need to keep things in mind when designing the map, like the environment and the art that's going to eventually get to. And like the gameplay, make sure all the weapons are balanced, the teams hit the center points at the same time. You know, there's a lot of these little things that people don't think about that ultimately decide how well a map plays.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things to think about when you're making a map.
I know when we were talking, we were using words, and you were just like, what is that word?
I forget what that wordsmith
is. Yeah, pseudo-sim.
We'll see what it came up with. I don't remember anymore.
Inverse symmetrical. No, what's that?
Pseudo-sim.
Yeah, pseudo-sim. So, just refining the map-making process more. Most people make out a general block out of the layout of their maps, so they don't actually have to worry about spending a lot of time on art yet. They just want to nail the gameplay down, and then you can art it up later as you go, so you know that the gameplay is the number one thing that you're thinking about. It's really important to play test that map a lot and reiterate and keep reiterating and until you eventually get solid and sold down to the point where you're happy with it. and you know, it looks like its own map, and you know, just getting players to move in interesting ways around the map, have it all ironed out, and that's pretty much that.
You know, we were talking about this, about like setting up the slides and everything. We were trying to figure out a way how we really go about explaining how you include different movement mechanics in the game and kind of signaling that to other players that might be able to pick up on that, but kind of almost intentionally putting a skill gap in there.
Yeah. Yeah, like if you put certain players, we'll know that when there's a wall that's slightly angled at a 15-degree angle, they will be like, let me go try and slide up that. And if they do, they'll be rewarded by sliding up all the way across the map and eliminating like three jump ups to get there.
Hacks.
Yeah, exactly. When we're finding the map process, one of the things for matchmaking, even like just like with skill jumps and stuff, like don't put too many in there. So like if only a certain niche will know and have an overpowered advantage, but like put some in there just to like have people be able to screw around. Or have like a cool, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that type of moment.
Right. So this is a map for, you made Foes.
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about this process.
So this is Russet, a map I made. It was in Community Slayer, which launched about this time last year. This is pretty much my process for just going through it. I draw it all up on paper first, and then you get down to the point where you iterate on it in the gray box or block out phase, which is why there's no color or anything on the map in that picture on the side there. You just want to get that no detail raw geometry down so you know it plays well perfectly, and then you art it up later. And as you can see, the layout sketch isn't exactly the same as the final overhead. That's because when you're blocking out the map, you may make that original sketch like originally, but once you start playing it with your friends and playing it and like testing out what works and what doesn't, you'll start to kind of close in some walls, move some things back a little bit, until ultimately what I ended up with was the final overhead, which is the layout of the map now.
So in this process, you kind of mentioned like the layout sketch, you're not really putting in detail, and you're using playtest to really figure out where the detail needs to change and other little assets or that kind of stuff. Where in your process do you start adding the little like touches of things? Like you get the layout done and then do the touches, or do you
usually
do the touches in tandem?
Yeah. Usually eventually you get to a point where you know pretty much that the layout's not going to change. Like you just keep refining it and refining it more. And then you get to a point where it's like, all right, I can kind of start adding a little bit of things to get an idea of what I want here and there. And then eventually you just go full blown, just detail crazy on it. And then you get frame rate issues. And then you have to deal with that for like a month.
Sure.
Oh,
we've got Analog here.
Analog is my map. Actually, it's not a 100% original design, though. It is based off of a Halo 4 map made by a different forger. The map was in Halo 4 called Lotus. This is a tweaked version. There's a few new areas or whatever, but it was more of a reskin for Halo 5. And another forger helped me out by the name of Who's Blaze. He works at 343 now. But if you see on the screen, I tried to get a before and after. So before, it was all like a tan color. This is Blaze did the initial block out, and then I kind of prettied it up, and I kind of gave it a theme and kind of an environment pretty much overall. So I went for a basic sci-fi theme, nothing too crazy. That's kind of how the map process works. Some people like to block out and then just leave it at the block out, and then other people take that block out and then make it their own, make it pretty much.
And some people just free form without even the block out. Like, it's not like you don't have to do a block out, it's just recommended so you have a better design, usually, but you can still free form it if you wanted to.
Yeah, everyone has their own different type of way of forging. Some people like to block out, Some people just go one piece by one piece and everything connects together at some point, and then they just play test and refine it from there. That's not what I did in this case, but sometimes I do that. And in the bottom left corner, you can see an overview that my friend Sergeant Slaphead made, which kind of shows the whole layout of the map.
So just between these two maps, Rusted and Analog, how much time do you do with, or do you apply to doing the block out and making sure the flows work versus testing it up, make it have that aesthetic application to it, and then really take it from there to put the final polish on it?
For Rust, it's probably going to be a scary number, an uncomfortable amount of days, months.
Yeah, I was about to say, that map took you like 2 weeks, didn't it? Just to find like the perfect art?
Yeah.
I remember a lot of versions of it. A lot of different variants.
Yeah. Yeah, because I probably started that in February of 2018, I guess. 2018. Wow. And it probably wasn't done until, I think, like May. So, and that was like the only thing I was working on.
Yeah, many months.
So, it takes a lot of time. It's hard to also get friends to try and test it continuously.
Yeah. And with Analog, it was a little different because I already had the whole entire layout. I pretty much just had to reskin everything. Because of the geometry and whatnot, I had to do minor tweaks to make something look better. Make it look so it didn't merge weird with other pieces. But generally, it wasn't too hard. I'm a very slow forger. It will take me a solid month to finish just a reskin, just because I don't know. My mind doesn't work great sometimes.
So it
takes a while sometimes.
Yeah. Tangent, that since we have a little time to kill, what's kind of the process that a lot of forgers will take if they're like remaking a map in the next game?
Like remaking from our previous Halo game?
Yeah.
Oh, this is my area.
That's something that's pretty common, is you get any popular map or game mode, and if it's recreatable in the next Halo game, people do it.
The best suggestion for remakes is if you still have the old console, or now since we have all the games ported over, if you have another console that can go to that game, just have a separate screen on your side and just like build like that. Otherwise, take a lot of screenshots.
Yeah. Yeah, what I did for when I, because I made pretty much most of the Halo 3 classic throwback maps for the Halo 3 playlist. And what I would do is I have three monitors all set across from me. I have one with the Halo 5, one with the original on another Xbox running, and one with the 3D file from the other game loaded up in Maya, which is a 3D editor program.
Wow.
And you can scale it out with the grids.
Yeah, Foge over the top.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, that
Foge has done a whole lot of remaking and stuff I would never even attempt.
Foge is the king of frame rate and remakes.
It's too much. Yeah, frame rate. That's a big Halo 5 thing.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit, I'm sure.
Actually, yeah, that applies to this a lot, actually. Well, keeping in mind the frame rate with matchmaking. Foge will talk about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's this slide or next slide.
Yeah, it might not be this slide.
So with designing maps and modes for matchmaking, there isn't really, you want to start off with the map and then you want to update it for matchmaking. If you just build a map with the mindset of it going into matchmaking or it going to be very popular in the custom game browser, it's not going to happen. You want to try to make your designs very gameplay oriented, like fun for the player. And after you make those designs like fun for the player in those play spaces, check the balance of the map. And then like even with game modes and stuff, you want to make sure that you are having the player's interest come first when it comes to like new game modes. And then once that is accomplished, then refine it around any matchmaking type of ideals.
Yeah, frame rate's a big one, especially for Halo 5. We also kind of mentioned in here, like, being able to design safe re-entry points into the match and having the, I think this is what we were talking about earlier, Having elements that help orientate players whenever they respawn or whenever they're traversing the map.
Yeah, you kind of want identifiable areas on the map so people aren't just lost. Like, imagine if you're playing a maze where everything's all the same wall. You're not going to know where you are. But if you color one of the walls blue, people somewhat know where they are. Maze wasn't really a good example, I guess, because you get lost in a maze. But same idea.
Chiron. And then just want to also touch on the rigorous stress testing of the final map.
Yes.
Test.
Sometimes
pretty much.
It can take like months for some. Yeah. Even I know in a few map cases in custom games that I've played, it can take years for some maps to be finished.
Yeah.
But some people just stress test to the max, and it's great. But it does require a lot of testing. Sometimes you'll play a map 100 times before it's finished. At that point, you're probably tired of the map, but some people haven't played it, so.
Yeah, the Halo 5 recent BTB playlist that launched out probably 2 months ago now at this point, we were testing those maps probably every other night for good, like, 3-4 hours every single night, at least 3 times a week.
A lot of testing.
Even with like the Husky Raid playlist, Blaze invited me to a bunch of those. He was going almost like all day, every day for like 5 days a week.
Yep. You got to make sure it's all perfect. Everything's patched up. No, nothing wrong with it. It's a very long and lengthy process.
What are those specific things that you guys are testing for when you're stress testing a map?
It's a lot of things. Yeah.
Like, there's player spawns, like
spawning. Yeah. Something doesn't look right. When there's two textures on the same plane, it's called like Z fighting, or like they're on the same.
It's where two
Z
textures overlap.
Touching and they're flickering, and obviously that's not natural. Yeah. So like that needs to be fixed. So you have people walking around looking at the textures. You have people that are looking for frame rate drops if they're looking across the entire map. Sometimes there's too many objects in your view. And with Halo 5's engine being what it is, sometimes it just can't take it and it kind of bogs down a little bit. You have people that are checking for like tricky jumps or like escaping the map. So there's a lot of people that are very good at trying to escape maps. So you have to make sure all those barriers are in place, kill zones and everything, soft kills.
Even stuff just like that. Even just like broken weapon setups and broken combos.
Yeah, even weapons.
Like, I remember on one of the BTB maps, I forget which one it was, but in one of the playtests, I think it was one of the more recent ones, someone had like a rec combo on there for one of the weapon pads, I think, and it was overpowered.
I played those maps too many times with too many different weapons, I don't remember anymore.
But
lots of balance testing, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the big question a lot of people have is, how do I get my map into matchmaking?
How do you get that sweet olive helmet and that sweet compass rose?
How do I get my map into matchmaking? There's the question.
I mean, I'll answer it. I think all of us have maps in matchmaking, so it kind of applies to all of us up here. But pretty much, if you have a good map and you're trying to share it around, it'll be seen by people that know design and know, you know, how to get it into matchmaking. Posting it to places like 4chub or to the 343i forums.
Sometimes even Halo Custom still has some, surprisingly.
Try to you know, have friends play it or whatever. If you're testing the map, then you're gonna have a lot of people play the map. And the more people that play on the map, obviously the more publicity it's gonna get, and that's better. It can be hard for sure, especially for people that are newer in the community and they don't know as many people. It's not all about knowing the right people to get into matchmaking. If you have a good map and you're trying to show people it, people will notice the talent and it'll get into matchmaking.
Yeah,
I'd even say like on 4chub and even on like Halo Waypoint, people post, even 343 sometimes post like, hey, we're having a game night at this point. Come bring your maps. Like, just going into those and looking for when those happen, those are probably the best way to get your map exposed and to see if your map is considered a good map by the community.
Yep.
Or like, even just like if it's potential for matchmaking?
Honestly, the simplest answer, in my opinion, if you want your map to be noticed, and I might be biased, but if you post it
on 4chan,
a lot of people will see it that have like influence in the community, and they'll contact you and, you know, refine the map or whatever for matchmaking. If they're looking for a specific type of map, say your map's made for 4v4 Slayer or something, and they're looking for 4v4 Slayer maps for matchmaking, people will scour forums and look through the browser system and everything for maps, and your map might be seen, might get picked if it looks interesting. So
a good example of one of the people that recently got their Olive Helmet and Compass Rose, their first map in matchmaking, was this guy no one knew. But he got into our testing lobby one day. He's like, "Hey, I got a BTB map." And we're like, "Okay, cool. Here, throw it on." Throws it on. We all immediately fell in love with the map. It wasn't amazing. We just all loved the layout. And a bunch of us worked with him because we really loved the map and how it played. And that map ended up shipping into the BTB playlist that came out recently. And that's just how it can be sometimes, you know? Just play, get some tests in, and 6 months, 7 months later after testing, you'll have a map and match me.
So it takes time. That's basically what you're saying.
That's pretty much.
Yeah, very long time.
It takes time, effort, patient. And patience.
You gotta get your foot in the door first, though.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, you also have all your cool Forge buddies now that are very good at forging, so you grow as a forger too.
Yeah, having friends in the that also forge and stuff helps a whole lot too, because one, you can bounce ideas off of each other, but also you have people that can give you solid feedback, and you know, if they're interested in the same thing you are, then that helps tremendously too.
Yeah, it's not just going to be your neighbor from down the street saying, "Oh, this is such a cool map," when it's just like eight crates stacked on top of each other.
Yeah.
If you ask for feedback, you'll get it.
What are you saying? Crates are a bad thing?
Yes.
Any games use crates.
If it's made of crates, it's a bad thing.
Map is still bad crates.
So you guys are actually in a pretty interesting position, because Forge Hub has a very good working relationship with 343 as far as it comes to playlist refreshes, other ideas to kind of throw into things like Action Sack or brand new game types like Husky Raid. Mm-hmm. So what's kind of the feedback that you've seen from 343 as far as just the response of people going out there, putting in the time to make the maps, and then seeing how the response is once their map gets into matchmaking?
Well, going to the 343 and Forge Hub relationship stuff, a lot of people from Forge Hub have actually got hired at 343 recently. Our friend Tyler and Trout, given Fly93.
Yep, most of the level designers working at 343 are all Forge Hub members.
Yeah,
they're all good friends of ours.
Yeah, they didn't go to college for level design or anything like that. They forged and they were noticed, and they pursued it, and they got in.
Yeah, granted, they had to learn Unreal Engine first.
There's about eight forgers, I believe, that work at 343
now.
Yeah,
roughly.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying don't quit college.
Go to school.
Don't go to college. No, I'm just kidding.
But if you're really good at Halo,
some advice that I talked to Frankie yesterday, some advice that he gave me at least was like, if you're wanting to go into like a level design position or something like that at a game company, make sure you have some coding or scripting behind your back first, because then you are like more well-rounded and can actually work more with the team collaboratively. And you're able to do more, if that makes any sense. Yep. So coding and level design work together really well, surprisingly.
There is theory behind it. It's not strictly just what you see on the screen is what you get. Halo 5 is not all of level design or anything like that. It extends far beyond that. But it's a good basis.
Yeah, the scripting alone has made some really creative and insane maps and modes for Halo 5.
Oh, yeah. People making, like, I saw a few recently, like a fully working Pac-Man game within Halo 5. I'm like, how does that even work? I have no idea. It's like a full arcade game within just Halo 5 custom games.
People have also been, like, Duck Hunt and stuff.
Duck Hunt?
Too.
Yeah.
Duck
Hunt. It's crazy.
Wasn't there a Galaga?
Oh, yes, I believe. I think that was the new one. Space Invaders. Spartan Blood came out with.
Which is just insane.
Yeah.
It's crazy that the things that people come up with.
So one of the designs that we decided to talk about, because it's so different from 4v4 and Free For All and BTB and all that, is Infection. Arguably, Infection is both one of the hardest and one of the easiest to design for and perfect. The main issues that would arise when you start making Infection is, okay, how big should my maps be? How large should a room be? How many holdouts should there be, or anything like that? So like the core design principles for Infection are like holdouts, player experience, like player versus infected, their demographic, and then also another one I believe was just weapon balance in general, which is across all the modes, of course, but those are the core ones for like Infection gameplay principles.
Well, yeah, and Infection can go south really quickly if you do not have the right game mode selected.
Correct. Yeah. Usually maps are based the difference between like Infection versus like a core map, which plays like Slayer, CTF and stuff. I mean, Infection is, you play Infection on an Infection map. There's a few instances where like Halo 5 core maps play Infection, but I don't agree with them very much. I like when it.
Oh, you don't like Unishek's Infection maps?
What?
Unishek made those.
They're not in the playlist.
Well, I'll kind of talk down on myself a little bit there then. My map in matchmaking is Power Installation 484. And that map, to say the least, was not the most balanced off the start, but that is because Infection actually had an extremely rocky start. We did not have a playlist until March, or a game type until March, and we were working off a pseudo game type to where we were just playing Slayer and switching teams.
Oh, like old school Halo 2 days.
Yeah, pretty much. And we had to go off the settings that John was able to give to us from the test, like the internal testing team when they were testing it. So one of the things that didn't transfer over immediately is Halo 5's first instance of Infection was actually going to be closer to the Alpha Zombies version that it's at right now, where zombies can sprint and thrust, but they can't do anything else. And Power Installation suffered heavily from that because that's what it was tested for, played fine, and then it came out with a normal Infection game type and was broken badly.
Yeah, every variant of Infection's also been different throughout like the Halo games. So like Halo 4 has a notoriously long lunge for the Flood. Well, I guess it was called Flood even in Halo 4. It wasn't Infection.
Right.
So there's that difference. And like, so you had to work, how we worked around that in Halo 4 was, well, we gave the zombies a two hit because the lunge was just insane. Like you can like fly across half the map with just with one lunge.
Not to mention the thruster pack.
Yeah, and a thruster pack, which launched you halfway across the map as well.
Just flying across the map, yeah.
So yeah, I was on the core team for Hive Mind back in Halo 4. That was interesting to say the least. Yeah.
It's probably safe to say, and I mean, if I'm kind of like wrong on this assumption, but aside from HCS, Infection is probably one of the most difficult game modes to design a map for.
Definitely,
it's completely different. It's a completely different design process from like a core map because it doesn't work the same way.
Because you have to balance out holdouts or like balance out like, hey, the players now spawn with shotguns instead of like ARs or something.
Yeah, and the team sizes always changing.
How do I make the last guy not get killed by 11 zombies immediately?
Yeah, let's give the last guy an Ad Victorian rocket launcher with a shotgun.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, you need to. It can be a very hard balance because. Yeah, you need to balance it for, okay, there's like six survivors, but then that's going to dwindle down to one survivor. How do you make it so one survivor is just not going to get obliterated by zombies, but also you need to give them a fighting chance without making them overpowered and giving them like a crazy overshield or something like that. So it's a hard balance, but we manage.
Well, that kind of leads into this slide, the different concepts for making a map.
So with Infection's layout, like Infection has design principles similar to BTB and 4v4. Mainly their principles are the layout is number one and key, because if you don't have a good layout, then your map could just be a line, or your map could just be a circle that's way too big. Or you pretty much have to design around If you want it to be a linear infection, which is where you tell like a story or like have a door that you wait for to open, or the usual open world infection, I guess is the way to put it.
Free roam.
Yeah, free roam.
Yeah.
To where you can just roam the map freely, which there's a lot of great maps for examples for that. There's Storm's Peach, or was it Storm's End?
Storm's End.
Peach.
Storm's Peak is by Zand.
Storm's End.
Yeah. Storm's End and even like Black Market, like those are two great examples of free roam maps that work great
Black
at the moment.
Friday.
Black Friday.
It's okay.
We were over this crush.
Sorry, there's a lot of maps in Halo 5.
Yeah, there is.
It exploded with Halo 5. I mean, Halo Reach had a lot.
Yeah,
Halo 5 just changed the game.
I think Halo Reach had like a total of 12 infection maps, and Halo 5 has like 20.
It's a lot. Like, you'll go into the infection playlist, and you're like, I've never played this map before. I've never played this map before either. Or that one. How weird. Yeah, there's a lot.
Well, and didn't the latest Husky Raid playlist have 23?
Yes, I mean,
yeah.
Somewhere around the 20, 25.
Surprisingly, got like 23 or 30 in there.
That's
and
crazy.
That's
like a first,
the
right?
Original test list was 34.
Oh, my word. Wow.
So there's a 10 that didn't
make it. More than two-thirds of them made it in.
Yeah,
it's insane. Especially, like, I would honestly say that infection has slightly around the same amount of stress testing as Big Team Battle. Just slightly. But
it did.
Yeah. Like,
it depends map to map, though. Yeah.
Location, lighting, and atmosphere, there are other points of infection, which are also big points when it comes to matchmaking. One of the maps that are in matchmaking, the Crypt, is like probably the best map for an example of that. It has arguably the best lighting in the game.
It's just very, very foggy.
Yeah.
It's very moody. It's good.
Ominous.
It's the image in the bottom right corner. It's like kind of like a purple haze a little bit. It's pretty popular. A lot of people seem to like it.
When it first came out, it was a pretty popular map.
Yeah. Everyone's like, whoa. It shows off what Halo 5 is capable of. If you know what you're doing. And Alexis, Wyvern Zoo, she is incredible with lighting and, you know, piece usage. So with
kind of goes to this.
Well, yeah.
It's just it rolling right along here. Yeah. I don't even have to do a thing.
With infection, it's I like it. I focus on it because I tend to lean towards more the how the environment is and the looks of it. And I don't care, but I focus less on the map layout, and I have help from other people with that. But I like making unique experiences, and I like horror movies and stuff like that. So infection is kind of a good crossover for me for that. The theme, a unique theme and environment for an infection map really can sell a map for other people too.
There have been some infection maps that have been themed off of other games and movies, right? Like the Left 4 Dead.
There's like Doom. Yep. There's Doom maps too. And stuff.
There's actually a lot of alien infection maps that are linear, and those are extremely high detailed and good. Like, I don't remember what the creator's name is, but those are
Zombie
great.
Dire 5 made a really cool like space station infection map.
Yeah, I think I played that actually. I forget the name.
I don't know.
Someone quick looked it up on 4chan.
Zombie Dire.
So what are some of the things that you guys look for when you were specifically designing a map? What kind of atmosphere things are you guys looking for?
It depends on what you're going for with the map. Usually, infection, you're going for a more horror element, obvious reasons. So maybe you'll want a foggy map,
or even like just some flash.
Sometimes you just
areas.
Want a dark.
Throw some of that flood green fog in there.
Yeah,
fog and darkness go very far with
fog,
with
darkness,
infection.
Claustrophobic areas.
Yeah.
There you go.
But it's really what I like. Infection gives you a lot of freedom with what you want to do, because sometimes with making core maps and Slayer maps, you need to focus a lot more on like player awareness of where exactly they are and, you know, what the other team is doing. Infection, it's a team game, but really it's not. It's you're trying to be the last man standing, and so you're not worrying about team elements as much.
There can be atmospheric things like in other maps too. Like for example, in Viking in the B2B playlist, the remake of Valhalla, it's extremely like detailed when it comes to the rocks and the Crash Pelican, everything. Yeah. Like the atmosphere of that map is like huge. It's like an abandoned area. And then like here's some more atmospheric examples that Omi actually
created. I made all these. Shout out, Omicron.
That's a quite a diverse portfolio there.
I know.
You can almost Iron tell, Man. Like, they're not even made in Halo 5.
There's just a few pictures I made. I like to go into Forge and just make... These are all strictly just for the screenshots. They're not maps or anything. What you see is what you get. That's pretty much it, though.
That just kind of attests to, like, the different variety that Forge can really go to, though. The Forge artists, you have people that actually make your maps and game modes, and then you have machinimators, and then there's the crazy Japanese forgers that make their Gundams and all the other big robot Forge art.
Yeah. It shows off. You can have a lot of different environments with, you know, inside like a cave or something, or an oceanside, or if you like trains, you can have a train.
Even going back to like the communities and stuff that we were talking about, Halo 5 brought, there are foragers that just do like screenshots like this all the time, and like they get like their screenshots posted and noticed by 343, and it gets posted, and they post
them on Twitter and stuff.
Yeah,
sometimes.
They get like in-game emblems and stuff for it. It's really cool and all that. So
yeah, you get that sweet 343 red.
Pretty much anything you do in Forge, you get noticed by 343.
Yeah.
All right, we've got a little demo for you guys that we'll go ahead and switch on over to.
So, a lot of people are familiar with the map Warlock, or I guess it's Wizard by another name, depending on what game you're talking about.
Yeah, what was it? Warlock in 1?
Halo 2.
Halo 2.
So was it Wizard in Halo 1?
Wizard was Halo 1, yeah.
And they're pretty much the same. So I think
so. In case you don't know what Wizard is or Warlock, this is just a rough block out of what we were talking about before. A completely undetailed map. Pretty much just note what.
Is there audio from the speakers?
I don't know. Doesn't really matter.
It's fine.
But this is just the layout.
Don't worry. I think they'll get.
And then we'll show you what you can do with some atmosphere and aesthetics.
This is just a lot of people. Start with, I guess, what you're going to see. It's not necessarily pretty, but it gives you a basic, outline. If we can get it to work.
So this is just the rough
beautiful map.
Geometry of Warlock. There's no detail.
Some guy inverted the stick.
There's no anything. Crush has to change his controls here.
So this is what a lot of maps would look like in the beginning stages of making a map.
I see like a light no master.
It's very big.
But as you can see, there's no detail or anything, and we're going to show you what you can do with aesthetics to update the map. And
And this is what you really, would pretty much consider a blockout, right?
Yeah, that's completely blockout.
It's technically playable in a blockout state, but when you add texture and stuff to a map, it helps a lot for player recognition. They know where they're at, you know, with like blue team, red team, bases or whatever, something like that. It helps a lot.
People just do that because it's easier to rip out a wall when there's not 500 different objects to make up that wall.
So this is the same map, keep in mind. This is what you just saw, but it's a reskin. It's just going to look different.
This is with a magical theme.
Is this the one you did?
This is one of the ones I did.
I've never seen this.
This is the original.
This is the original.
Oh, this is the original. You've seen this one. This is the first one.
How much of this do you think is like just thematic appliances versus any tweaking?
There's like no tweaking, pretty much.
Yeah, because we just gave this example, so you could pretty much...
It doesn't affect gameplay.
You could make it any theme if you want. It's all up to you and what you can do.
Come on, Halo 5.
work. I thought the Xbox Ones were X's were faster than this.
Yeah, right? My day one Xbox would have loaded this already.
a dedicated server. Worst case scenario, we'll show off two of the examples.
I think we have. Do we have three examples of skinned versions or two examples? We have three. So,
well, while he's setting that up, we could take some questions too. If anyone has any questions,
yeah. In between the loading times, anyone has questions.
Here's the magical version of Warlock.
You can generate the lighting, yeah.
After he generates lighting. So this is the same map that was the blockout that you just saw. It was all gray before. This is the one Foge did. The layout's exactly the same. It just looks visually different, which helps a lot. So he was going for kind of like a... Well, what were you going for, Foge? How about you talk about it?
I was kind of going for a magical type of...
Just magical.
Because, you know, the name of the map's Wizard and Warlock. So I was like, oh,
I see
Sorcerer.
What you did there.
You know?
I just realized I didn't do colors for mine. That was smart.
We can go to the next one.
Cool. So are there any questions while he loads up the next map?
Nope.
No questions?
Right. Yeah.
When you come up here, we can't
really
hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. Yeah.
So with PC, actually, with MCC, they announced that they might be updating some of the old forges, like Halo 3 and Reach.
Yeah, they said Reach PC is not coming at launch.
Yeah.
Because they have to update it for keyboard and mouse.
They're going to be upgrading a lot of stuff, but like even like Halo 5 is even on PC right now. I'm gonna let them describe that more because I download this map up. Yeah.
I think another part to that too is you have a lot, like when MCC will come to PC, you have a lot more of the modding community on PC.
Yep.
So you're gonna have a lot more variety outside just with the built-in tool they're gonna give you.
Yeah, because I'm really big on using Unreal Engine. So being able to potentially make things with that and bring them over to a Halo game and play them actually in it, like a real map. That's a really cool possibility for me. So
the PC community is huge. And I mean, I think we all recognize that. And I think it's great that they're moving Halo to PC. I've been shooting for that for a long time. There's already map editors on PC like Unreal Engine or
Unity.
Yeah, Unity, a bunch of popular ones. I think it opens the door. What's special about Forge, it may not have as many tools as say Unreal or something, but it's so quick and so snappy. You can make maps so quickly, just even like just block them out.
Don't generate
it. I think it's probably faster than on any other engine, just because it's so user friendly in that aspect. So I think a lot of people that have maybe used Unreal Engine in the past will use Forge for blocking out basic ideas, and then maybe go over to Unreal to, you know, make their full-fledged thing, or they might make a full-on Forge map. So I think it's going to be very popular. They do have Forge on PC now for Halo 5, but I think with Infinite and Forge, I think it's going to blow up. I think it's going to be very popular for sure.
So what do we got in this version? Looks like
this is a Forerunner version of Warlock here.
Did you do this one too, Foge?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, you try hard. I only did one.
Maybe it'd be cool to have like all these variants in one playlist.
Yeah.
Like you just have all variants.
I actually thought
the Warlock playlist.
I kinda thought it would be cool if we actually put all the maps together and each different corner was a different.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
A different layout. Or a different theme.
Kind of just like a mashup of different effects.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I've never seen that one.
Yeah.
So is there anything you want to say to this map? Or this version?
It's Forerunner.
Yeah. But like it's when you see all the different or the same map just with all these different themes, they all look very different besides just the raw geometry. Like this one has the giant hole in the bottom where you can see through with the Forerunner logo here. You know, like
you're not convincing me that.
No, I stole it from Portalier.
I thought you did. Stealing other people's work.
Yeah, I took it from Port.
It's not stealing, it's just reusing, right?
He made it a prefab, so it's open to the public.
Right. There's one more to load up, right?
Yeah, there's one more.
Any other questions that we can answer in the meantime?
Yes.
Would you like the mic?
How do you handle feedbacks from multiple different outlets because they don't disagree with each other. How do you find brand advice?
So okay. For the recording, the question was, how do you handle advice from multiple different feedback points?
I think when it comes down to it, you're the one making the map. You make your own choices. You take what you want to take. And if it works for you, it works for you. Trial and error, really. I mean, you can listen to whoever. Not one person knows everything. Someone might have a better outlook on something than another person.
One other thing about like feedback is let's say you host a custom lobby with your friends, whether they're foragers or not, maybe feedback. The number one thing that would probably be the best to keep in mind, don't jump the gun on all feedback, but like if there's something like that's blatant, like, hey, this spawn over here is constantly spawning the entire team there, then fix that. Or if like, hey, adding the Ad Victorian rec variant to a sentinel beam is not good for the map. things like that, you can change that pretty simply. Like it doesn't affect the map too much. But if like someone's saying like, hey, I don't like this room, or like this room's way too large or too small or something like that, if multiple people start giving you that feedback, then change it. But otherwise, kind of like do multiple playtests around that before you change it.
Yeah, it sounds like if you have kind of a unanimous feedback on a particular asset or feature of a map, then it probably needs to be addressed. But if you're getting a whole bunch of different feedback about something in particular, then it's probably just up to your own artistic interpretation or how you want to apply it to your map.
Yeah. That is some heavy fog. That was not as heavy as I remember when I put it there.
Well, that's another thing that you can do with Halo 5 Forge. You can
like
edit the fog settings.
Afterlife feeling right here.
Yeah.
It's a little smoky room.
Very ghost-like.
It's definitely a factory.
Yeah. So again, it's the same map from the last three maps we've seen. They've all been the same. They just look visually different. And yeah. I mean, there's very small tweaks. Like right there, there was a block structure there, but I put a crate there before, and then I put another box thingamajiggy I made. I don't really know what it is, but I thought it looked cool. just putting your own creative elements on it, I think, makes a map yours, and I think it's really important. Having a map style really helps you, because there's some maps that you can look at a map and you're like, oh, this person made this map, and it's very obvious because they have a certain style of forging versus other people,
right?
Well, that's why I like Forge so much. You have so much creative liberty on how you want a map to look. You're not restricted, oh this layout is this way and you can only have it this way. Well, just because the layout's a certain way, it doesn't mean the map has to look identical to a different, like.
Yeah. Yeah, for the BTB playlist, I think you and Crush know this. The one BTB map, Voyager, it's a one flag map.
Yeah.
That map was originally a beach, and now it's in outer space.
Yeah.
I remember that. That's a pretty big difference.
Yeah. So, yeah, there used to be a river running down the middle, and it ran into frame rate issues. So, me and the creator took it to space.
Also keep in mind, the maps that we've been showing off, we made in like a day. They're not like,
yeah,
they're not tested or anything like that. Not that it has to be, I guess.
Well, the layout's tested a little bit by phones, but the new aesthetics and stuff, there's definitely some frame rate issues.
Mine's all good.
Yeah, mine's not so good. Says. That's why I have the fog.
It is. It only has 900 everything. Objects on it.
Any other questions?
Nope.
Going once?
No questions.
Nice. Alrighty. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. We got a couple of different links for Forge communities if my computer decides to respond for a second. Forge Hub obviously is kind of one of the main ones around, but we got some other ones that were mentioned before. Halo Customs, iForge, Halo Tracks, Griffball. Halo Spark Forge Network, Alliance System Network, and there's a whole bunch of different forging communities out there. So
some of
you guys
other,
are getting involved with something, then that's a good list to start with.
Yep.
Some of the other forging communities I know will be at other Outpost events, and I think Chicago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Chicago is the Spark Forge Network and iForge, and then I think Houston is Alliance Testing Network. So
yeah, so that'll be interesting to hear from them.
Yeah. So if there's anyone attending other locations, then there's going to be different forgers and different perspectives on things and like that. So you can definitely check those out. For anyone listening, if you're going to be doing that as well, then check them out. We also got some 343 folks who are going to be at the Anaheim one too.
Yep.
So it'll be another perspective to see it as well. Any final questions before we wrap up?
Yeah.
Sure.
This is pertaining more to the infection linear maps. Like I've been designing one for about 8 months now and was wondering, except like I have a small problem where the survivors always die. What I've been doing is instead of making it more, I don't know like how to word it, but instead of making it less that they get rushed, I've been giving them more power weapons / more holdouts. Wait, is that like a kind of balancing way to do it or?
So with linear infection, it's a harder balance.
Is it, than, did you say linear?
Yeah, you said linear. Okay. With linear infection, it's a harder balance than free roam because you don't obviously like you have a choke point. Until a certain part. So with linear infection, the best recommendation I can say for you is with the power, like you're giving them more power weapons and stuff, that works, but try to make it so the map goes like, okay, so the first phase is the easiest for the humans to die in. That's the easiest. And then it gets harder as it progresses. That's kind of a basic type of thing, which I think you just said you were doing. So with that, the best advice I could probably give you is if every single playtest, no matter what, like humans aren't getting to the very end or everyone's dying in the first phase, maybe lighten up on the cover for the infected a little bit. And if that doesn't work, then just like expand the room a little bit. And that would probably fix your issue.
Yeah. With linear, I did a lot of linear infection in Halo 4. I think it would still apply to Halo 5. I have not made a Halo 5 linear map myself, but I have a lot of friends that have. I think the easiest way, it's probably that the humans are getting rushed. Maybe the zombie spawns are too close to the humans. Maybe the zombies have too big of an advantage dropping down on the humans. I don't know how the map is, but like a lot, it's almost like the humans are in like a funnel almost, and the zombies are kind of coming in from different directions, usually have a height advantage. If you push them back, if you give the humans more time to react, to see them coming a little bit more, that helps tremendously. You don't even have to give them power weapons in that case. Make sure they have some ammo for their assault rifles or pistols or whatever you're giving them. But giving them a little bit more breathing room is a very easy way of helping balance that, because usually how humans die is, one, they don't see the zombie coming at all and they get hit in the back or something like that, or they're just overwhelmed by multiple at once because the spawns are too close.
In Halo 5, like it's very close to Halo 4's linear infection to some extent, because the sword lunge is very similar when zoomed in, but not to the same extent. So just like more breathing room, like Omi was saying, would probably be the best.
Yeah, giving solution. Just try to give them breathing room, give them time to react. It's fine to give them power weapons, but breathing room, really.
Thank you.
Yep, sure. Thank you. Good question.
Any other questions?
All right, well, we'll be here for a few more minutes if you guys want to meet these guys one-on-one. We're going to take a picture real quick, but otherwise, thank you for joining the panel today and enjoy the rest of your outpost.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.